Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Timely show lined up for you today. Big kudos to Beth Moot in my office, who's lined up an outstanding guest for us today. Outstanding, Mark Cook. He is a registered investment advisor, professional trader. He has written the book with Michael Sincere. The book is called Prepare Now and Survive the Coming Bear Market. This time is not different. And he has also authored the Cook Investment Advisory Letter, twice daily email, circulated throughout the world for the past 15 years, and has been a professional trader for 35 years. He manages his own accounts as well as offers advisory services and even trains people on becoming a career traders themselves. He has discovered and developed the Cook Cumulative Tick Indicator, CCT, and he's won numerous accolades and awards for his work. And it's a 30-minute show, so I can't mention all the awards, Mark, but listen, welcome to the program, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you today.
Well, thank you very much. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Well, we're glad to have you. I know time is money, and the book is available for our listeners to go over to Amazon.com if they'd like. There's a Kindle edition and economically priced $7, Kindle price on Amazon. So that's pretty cool, Mark. I appreciate that. Listen, I want to dive right in. Why isn't it different this time?
Well, I think there's several factors that you need to look at overall. Not looking at timing per se, but looking at history that we've seen over the past several decades. You know, I've been in, as you mentioned, over 30 years, and this is what I do, making my living and investing money for people and investing my own money. And I look at situations of scenarios of probabilities and possibilities. And the one thing that I hope that your clientele, and I'm sure that you educate them in regard to this, is common sense. And the common sense that you look at in today's environment that we have, it's not so much the market timing, but we've had a very bountiful 6 to 7 years here in the stock market where we've reached loftiness that we've never seen before. We also have gone a very, very long time, not predictably long time, but historically, it's been 3 years, over 3 years now, since we've had a 10% correction in the S&P 500 index. And you're stretching. It's a very, very mature market here now. So people need to be aware that this isn't the norm. That's why I said this time it is not different. We have corrections in the market. It's actually helpful to have a correction in the market or whatever, that it gets excesses cured, gets the neutrality in and equilibrium again, and then cooler heads prevail.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I'm glad you're talking with the proper magnitude about this, Mark, because, you know, one of my pet peeves and soapbox subjects is when the folks on television, radio, or in the newspaper just hyperventilate over a 0.5% movement in the market and act like the world's falling apart. And so, you know, these things are normal. They are to be expected. And, you know, the only thing that will be the same is that it will be different this time. It's always different. It's not different that we won't have a change or a market receding from a previous high, but it's different every time because how it comes to us presents itself in a lot of different ways over the years. And so, you know, predicting that obviously is a challenge, but there are warning signs. Are you seeing things that are giving you more of a pause than maybe 6 months or a year ago?
Yes. Well, there's several things that I look at. I'm a historian of the market. I love the history of the market, how things uncoil, recoil, how they increase and how they decrease in value. And you can see similar patterns if you study it over the decades. The scenarios change, the environments change, the news items change, the faces change. But the end result is that as we have these, what I call ebb and flows in regard to them, a lot of times they're predicated on different trigger catalysts, type of news events or whatever that prompts a movement in a direction that's adverse to what it was before. We're in that type of environment now where we're seeing a market and people are still excited about the stock market. I think maybe a word that I hate to use is complacency, because complacency lets people get blindsided in regard to things, and we're kind of at that plateau right now. If you look at it, even for 2015, we've almost had four completed months here, and literally we've gone nowhere in the S&P 500. We're less than a 2% move for the year, and it's a different environment already than it was for 2013, 2014. We got an environment that we're working into now where the Federal Reserve is going to have to make some difficult decisions whether they want to or not. And that's just going to change the ambiance of the market and introduce some things here that it hasn't had to withstand or hasn't had to endure over the past 5-6 years.
Excellent. Well, that's well said, Mark. And, you know, I kind of look at the Federal Reserve and think about some of those different competing scenarios or issues or challenges they are faced with, and you know, and again, this is just my opinion. I look at the pluses and minuses. We've got a strong dollar, or stronger, relatively speaking, dollar. We've got ongoing concerns always about our trade balance or imbalance. We have oil where it is. We have interest rates where they are, and we have the Europeans doing what they're doing with interest rates. And we of course still have economy that is still on the mend. And it makes me wonder why they would want to raise rates at all in 2015. And so I put myself on that Federal Reserve board, and I think I would talk a lot about it, but I darn sure wouldn't raise rates. What do you think about that logic?
Well, the situation you're looking at is, and you already alluded to some key points here, we're at areas that we haven't seen before. For example, in our lifetimes, you and I have seen interest rates go up and go down, but we've never seen them come down to the levels they are now and stay there. So my point that I look at, and again, I'll allude back to the common sense, going up a quarter, a half a percent or whatever, the perception is, oh no, you know, the course has changed in regard to that. But going from zero up is a lot higher probability than going from zero down.
Well,
so
that's true.
People get too excited about a little bit of a move. Throughout my investing career, predominantly you look at 5-6% return on just money market instruments was fairly common in the 1980s, 1990s, and now we're looking at 0% return on a liquid money market, so we're very abnormal from where we should be. Another thing you mentioned, you know, about oil, and there's a lot of circumstances throughout the world that we're seeing things here that are abnormal rather than normal in the scope of things. The oil price, if you think about it, a year ago at this time, oil was, you know, $80 to $100 a barrel.
Right.
And that was a complacency number. It's going to stay there. If anything,
that's
it's
true.
Going to go a little higher. And people had factored that into their budgets and their gasoline prices and things in regard to that. Well, lo and behold, In a six-month period, you know, we literally cut the price in half. And so the excesses that we saw there were corrected. And I think that's what we're going to see in a lot of other, you know, variable markets, not only domestically but internationally as well. And when there's too much impetus put on an abnormal or what I call lack of free market participation, as the Federal Reserve has done, as the European central banks are doing now, as Japan has done in regard to that, I think they need to let well enough alone a little bit. It's gotten a little bit too pushy, I believe.
Yeah, a little too much management going on.
Correct.
Yeah, good stuff, Mark. Well, if you're just joining us, Mark Cook is on the line with me, registered investment advisor, professional trader. MarkDCook.com is a website. Prepare now and survive the coming bear market. This time is not different. Book co-written with Michael Sincere, another great guy. We're going to grab a quick break and we'll be right back with Mark. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
All right, we are back with Mark D. Cook, and that's the website.com. And the book, Prepare Now and Survive the Coming Bear Market, this time is not different, co-written with Michael Sincere. And Mark, I'm looking at the website. Are you, you got your cell phone there? Are you really sitting on the tractor talking to me out there in East Sparta, Ohio, on your family's 1870 farmhouse?
Yeah, that's correct. That's where we have one of our offices that we operate. My roots are pretty deep. We have six generations. That's there where you see the picture of the tractor is actually my great-grandfather's farmstead.
Cool. And that's cool.
It's beautiful there. Although we don't have the warmth that you have in Florida, you know, we have seasons up in regard to that and everything, but it's a beautiful setting, which helps me with my trading. You know, sometimes I'll look out the door and see a beautiful countryside.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's a peaceful, easy feeling, and that you're remaining calm, which, you know, is another whole area to this dealing with or addressing and investing in the market is, you know, the emotional aspect. And it's so easy to say to divorce emotion from this, from these financial questions and investing. But a lot of times people, especially when they do it themselves, it is very difficult for them to do that. And I, you know, you'll get a kick out of this, Mark. I have what I call a 3-no policy in my office. If a client calls and they want to go to cash in kind of a panic, I say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll repeat that no 3 times and push back and say no. No, let's think about this. Slow down. Hold on. Let's develop a plan for what we're trying to accomplish. And then, of course, on the 4th time, it is their money. I will capitulate. But, you know, so there's the emotional piece of that. What do you say to that part of this equation? Because you can't escape it.
Well, that's very good. Handling people's emotion, whether they're an individual trader on a minute-by-minute basis or if they're a long-term investor that's in the same course for years, the mentality of it and the emotions eventually will be come a deterrent to prudent thought, I think. So to answer your question a little bit, when I handle people, I teach, I have people that come literally from all over the world that I teach how to do career investing or trading. And one of the things that I try to help these people realize is that whenever your objectivity goes to zero, your prudent thought becomes replaced with irrational thought. And that's a little bit of what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
The book that Michael Sincere and I wrote together basically is trying to prepare people not for a crash calamity or whatever, but understanding a bear market is much like this analogy or kind of joke that I use in regard to it. You know, what's the definition of the difference between a recession and a depression? Well, a recession basically is when your neighbor loses his job, and depression is when you lose your job.
Exactly.
So when you're seeing a situation that the market is not performing like it has been over the last 5 years, and I really think we're going into this, and what if we do have, which we will, a 20% decline in indices, even though we haven't had a 10% decline in the last 3 years, people are living with that assumption. And that is just not putting together the probabilities and being realistic in what the domestic situation is and the world market. So anyway, what I'm trying to do is get people acclimated to how do you do well in an environment. It is different than now. And a lot of people don't want to accept that. No, I like what it is right now. It's just like
Right. Everybody
wants to be a 30-year-old, even when they're a 70-year-old, you know, in regard to it. But it's a maturation process that we're seeing in this market, and things are going to change. So
we're
in a 90-year-old market right now.
Yeah, and you know, once upon a time, before we had a human intervention in Florida, the entire state would burn about every 3 years, you know, all of the trees and underbrush. And then, of course, when we step in and we retard those flames and we manage those things, we have a tremendous buildup of underbrush. And back in the late 1990s, we had some horrible fires in Florida because finally that underbrush took hold and we had these mammoth fires. So What we have right now, I think, Mark, is to some degree, we have some very dry wood. We've got a lot of undergrowth that hasn't been cleaned out in a long time. And so when you talk about a 20% bear market or a 20% drop in the market from its high point, and let's just say it's 20% off an 18,000 point Dow, 3,600 points, people, that not only is the media going to lose their mind, but people are going to panic. And so they need to be prepared for that. And I will throw another little cliche. I think it's from a just from a movie I saw one time. The best way to avoid a punch is not be standing there.
Correct.
So if you really, you know, if you're waking up and you're understanding the reality and you are investing as you should as a 70-year-old as opposed to a 30-year-old, then you really have to be realistic about this probability or possibility of this type of correction, which I'm hearing you say is more and more likely than not.
Yes, that's correct. I would say it's inevitable here, you know, the timing aspect of it. But when you get to a certain situation, or I call it like an injury is, if you're injured and say you just sprain your ankle, that's nothing terminal in regard to anything. But if you continually sprain that ankle, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. This market at the levels it's at is too lofty. And as I mentioned before, you got a 90-year-old running a race. I said it's like a 90-year-old running a 100-yard dash in regard to it. Yes, maybe someone that's very healthy at that age can do that, but they sure can't do it at the speed they did when they were 30. And that's where our market is now. It's tired, and it's going to have to go through a purging process, I call it. And it's amazing to me, and maybe you see it in your clients, talking to people that really don't think we're going to get a 10% decline. I said, come on. A 10% decline from the levels that we're at now should not be a problem whatsoever, but it is a problem in people's minds.
Well, you're right on the money, Mark. You know, again, it's people, you know, in general have a very, very short memory when it comes to these things. And even though 2008 is still for pretty recent, and of course 2001 to 2002, not to be forgotten either, but it's this more recent experience is what kind of sets the stage of, well, you know, the market's coming up, it's doing better, hey, it's time to really go long and aggressive, and you know, it's different this time, and it's just not, and it's just, I'm, you know, my concern is that people are not at least factoring into those plans. I'm not saying that people can't or shouldn't have some money in the market. We subscribe to that approach. It's just not all your money, especially money that you're going to need in the short term for an upcoming purchase or money that you need to draw income from.
Yeah, it's a different environment that you see whenever you're at the late mature stages of a bull market than it is even in the middle of a bull market in the approach that you do. You should have more of a conservative approach, just like the ages of time is. I mean, you have someone that addresses at 60 years of age a different mindset than someone that's 40 years of age, even though it's the same person. You're at a different stage in your life, and that's what the market's telling us right now. It's at a different stage of its life here now, and how much it comes off, we'll just have to see in regard to that. But to have blinders on that it is not going to come down is going to be a big surprise to, I'm afraid, a lot of people.
I think you're right, Mark. If you're just joining us, Mark Cook, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, registered investment advisor, professional trader. MarkDCook.com is a website. You can go take a look at the Mark sitting on the tractor. It's a real thing. It's a real deal. Red tractor. The book is Prepare Now and Survive the Coming Bear Market. This time is not different. And we'll grab a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit with Mark about, if you've heard everything we've said so far, how you go about taking money off the table all at once, over time. We'll talk about it. Stay right there.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit PlanStronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Mark Cook, helping us kind of understand the market and ways to plan your financial future. And I kind of set it up there before the break, Mark, you know, taking money off the table. If people have heard us and somebody's out there, they've said, wow, okay, I get it, guys. I'm sitting over here with 100% of my money in the market and I get it. I don't think I want to stay 100% in the market based on their circumstances. How do you suggest they go about maybe backing off that risk? They come all out at once, they back off over time. What do you say?
Well, the way I handle people in regard to their plans is to do it in a, like a structured or tiered way. And you probably do the same thing. Is I don't have the answer here that the 10% is going to happen tomorrow, the next day, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, or whatever. I do believe it's going to happen. So why not take some off, and then if the market does go higher from this point, you still are participating and take more off as it goes up. But at least you're not at a full exposure if the market from this point in time heads south, and then you're getting off. And this is what, and I'm sure you've had clients that you've seen this happen to, that they're calling you after the old proverbial horse has left the barn, and they're down 20% or 25%. What do I do? What do I do? I was sold out. If it gets back up to where it was, I'm getting out. Well,
yeah.
What if it does not get to that point? The old historical that we saw in the 1960s clear up to 1982, we went approximately 17 years that the Dow Jones did not make another higher high, another all-time high. So it was a different environment during that time as far as making money. There were investment opportunities. Markets did move. Individual stocks did move that you could make money. But as far as a runaway higher high mentality of making all-time highs and then making another all-time high, that was not the environment at that time. And that's what I think we're going to see. I think over maybe the next decade or so, we're going to see a market here that is going to be sanguine, maybe even going to be detrimental, but it's going to get to be channeled to where it isn't going to move to all-time highs, and the lows are going to be more contained. It's a market where you have to have a different mindset.
I really appreciate that, Mark, because, you know, I think people, it's easy to forget that we've had periods where, you know, it just languished and did not really give that robust performance and wealth creation. And, you know, it's just a very different reality that is what can happen. And, you know, when I guide people on their retirement planning and what moves to make, they have to understand that these are realities. You know, I like to sometimes use the, you know, say, hey, you retire at the end of 1999, and you're going to keep your money in the market, and you had a 47% whatever cumulative loss over a 3-year period during the first 3 years of your retirement. That's a real problem, and people just need to step back and think about if that could happen, because it can, and it will at some point, to make sure they're prepared for that.
That's very, very good advice. Yeah, when you ask someone that is in the 55 to 70 year old age bracket, for example, can you stand an erosion of value of X amount over this period of time that can withstand the next decade after that? So from 70 to 80 years of age, you're going to be working with, as you said, even it could be a minuscule amount in the overall course of things of 10 to 15% decline, but you do have less assets to work with. And the environment is such in our economy and capitalistic structures are that it's going to cost more each year, you know, to maintain the standard of living that you have. And if you have less money to deal with, your standard of living is going to decline.
You're spot on, Mark. I love it. This whole idea, it's real easy. You just, you know, you accumulate money and you draw 4% out. That's the quote-unquote the safe withdrawal rate. You draw 4% out a year. No problem. You won't run out. And the reality is, number one, as you said very clearly, market goes down, you have less to draw your 4% on. So you either have less income or you have to violate the 4% and take a larger amount and maintain the same amount of income you had before. And you're drawing it out at a bad time because you're having to sell more to get the same amount of money. And you have also the reality of inflation, which means it's not just that simple. 4% with safe, quote unquote, safe withdrawal rate that's out there that some people talk about, Mark, only works if we have this ongoing long-term growth of the market. And as you very well put earlier, that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm. That's very correct. And when you put the numbers in front of the people and they look at this, and a lot of people don't want to crunch the numbers. That's the ostrich syndrome. That's bury our head in the sand, so to speak. But you have to look at that scenario, and if you are prepared for it, then it's not going to be as detrimental and as alarming, yet alone being panicky, which some people drives them into that. So, yeah, I'm glad that you're doing that with your people because, and if it doesn't happen, hey, fine. Nobody's upset then. But if you prepare them in regard to that and it does happen, they'll say, you know, I'm able to withstand this, and as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, emotionalism is a very impacting thing to someone that's looking at their net worth declining, their income declining, and their age increasing.
Well, you know what, Mark? You're putting it very well, and if down the road I end up in taking this approach with my clients or people that will have me help them, if I take this approach of a more conservative way of doing it, and if ultimately the markets are really strong and I've been a little too conservative, guilty. I can live with that.
That's correct. You can. And they're still going to be maintaining a standard of living that is comfortable for them. But if they're not prepared for things to happen that they haven't even thought about, let alone the reality of it impacts them too quickly in regard to it, there's no plan. I'm a big advocate of sitting down with people and having them go over a plan that includes every possible scenario. If things are better than they expect, everybody's a happy camper. But what if they're worse than they expected, and it gets that, and then the reality is that they have to deal with it. And as our ages increase, we got other things in consideration too that we have to look at. One is medical expenses, for example. So I'm 61 years old now, I'm looking at by the time I'm 80, my medical expenses might be my greatest expense that I have of all the expenses that I have, and I don't know how much it's going to escalate. That's an invariable that we really can't put a number on it. So it is definitely going to be an increase, and if my money, my asset value is less at that particular time, oh boy.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, there's going to be big expenses. I better let you go and get back to trading. Mark Cook, ladies and gentlemen, registered investment advisor, professional trader, markdcook.com, the website, the book, Prepare Now and Survive the Coming Bear Market. This time is not different. Mark, I really appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.